come to State of Play today is a conversation that has taken this country by storm. I'm here with a banking expert.
Hey.
They didn't know that.
I like to play with figures. I like it that way.
The banking expert.
Oh, not a banking expert. Don't mind him.
I don't remember in our history, I guess in the last 30 years, when a central bank has been the news this much. I mean, also because the 60.8 billion loss is historic.
Yes, it is.
And then, to make it worse, the expenditure items have also become very controversial.
Yeah.
Particularly the 250 million. That was their spending on that building at the time, of course, of the economic crisis, etc. So a lot of questions have come up about this central piggy bank.
Yeah.
We all put money in there. Yes, I get it. It's a central bank, lender of last resort, etc. But it is our bank, right? But that bank is actually now in ICU. But they say they have monetary policy credibility still. Because, of course, they can still do their monetary policy functions.
Well, they can. I mean, well, you know, the thing about the Bank of Ghana is that, yes, I mean, they find themselves in all of these things because of the marketable and non-marketable instruments that are held for government, and then, you know, because of the debt restructuring. I mean, for me, the most important thing today is, for instance, when government said it had actually reached, had been successful in the domestic debt exchange, mm-hmm. We raised a few questions. We said, but you wanted to exchange
137 billion.
You didn't get that. So why are you so excited? Now, today we are told, the Bank of Ghana has told all of us that it had to take a haircut on its principal.
Yeah.
Okay? So as for the Bank of Ghana, it wasn't even an interest thing. It wasn't a restructuring of its interest, but it has to actually take a huge haircut, 50% haircut. Very significant. I know people are interested in a lot of things, but for me, this is what I'm interested in. Monetary financing. Monetary financing is something that happens, but it's normally a last resort thing. Normally over a short period of time. And you expect that the government will pay back. This is the thing about monetary financing. If not controlled, it plays a major role in inflation.
No wonder inflation at the time, I think it was last year that it reached its peak.
Yes. So this is, for me, where the problem begins. So this is the Bank of Ghana in charge of monetary policy. This is the Bank of Ghana eating. Because we see, when we talk about the economy, we're looking at the fiscal, we're looking at the monetary. We're looking at, you know, how to get us, I mean, how to raise the revenue, the taxes, and how to spend. That's actually within the executive. What they do also affects inflation. The Bank of Ghana then would say, okay, because of this and that, how about we try and mop up excess liquidity? How about we try and make sure that people, you know, if people have too much money, and so if there's
a reason why the Monetary Policy Committee has a meeting all this
regularly,
while and hiking up the
but price, I am saying, so you would have known, and I this is a stood up, I don't want to go into a lot of, figures about and a lot of theories about, and all of, the point is that there is substantial evidence. It's happened before. It's happened in, the Bank of Zimbabwe at a point in time. We say Zimbabwe is a bad example. It's happened in Venezuela before. Mm-hmm. Once you begin to do that, once you begin to engage in monetary financing, if care is not taken, you will be pushing your country into hyperinflation status. And that, for me, is where the beginning of the problem is. Mm. So this is where my problem starts from. The fact that the Bank of Ghana has played a major role in all of us getting to the level we are today. So watch this. The Bank of Ghana, then having given money to government, of course, the argument is, okay, I know the likes of Professor Aka will say, oh, but if you give money to government and government invests in productive sectors, it's not a big deal. Mm. Well, the evidence today we've seen is that we didn't invest in any productive sectors. Yeah. That's why we are where we are today. So this is the point. You have played a role in a higher rate of inflation. And you used monetary policy to actually burden, borrowers,
yeah,
or lenders.
Because you're paying a bit more.
You're paying more.
As they hike up the policy rate.
Yeah, and particularly for those people
who hike up the policy rate because they want to deal with inflation. Like you say they've
created. You've played a role. I mean, the theory is there that monetary financing could lead to inflation. What has happened to our inflation? So I am assuming that this is a point. Because this is monetary financing could lead to inflation. Mm. So nobody's running away from that. Monetary financing leads to inflation. There's a huge possibility of it contributing to hyperinflation. That's what we're talking about. But this is my point. So if you do that, and then you use monetary policy to actually make people, it's actually a burden sometimes. Look, there are certain banks that engage in the variable interest rates. Whenever that happens, today the Ghana referencing rate is going up. Mm-hmm. The banks have started writing letters to people that, look, the money that you pay may definitely go up. So there are people who have loans today that they can never pay.
Yeah, because at the time they were paying it, they were paying a particular interest rate that they can afford based on projections.
Yes,
salary.
There are people who got interest. There are people who got interest rates at 21%. Today, the interest rates are 37%.
Yeah.
Almost, 100% increment. And people are struggling. Okay, today, the private sector is complaining that they can't borrow money. Today, we're talking about after. Okay. We've looked at the trade vulnerability report of Ghana, for instance.
Yeah.
The Ghana Statistical Services just launched it. We're talking about it, and we're saying we don't do what others have called South-South trading. We don't trade within Africa enough.
Yeah.
A lot of our trade partners are outside Africa. They are in Europe. So you ask yourself the question, what if there are any challenges in those areas, for instance? What happens to us?
Yeah.
Now, if we are not competitive even within our sub-region, go to Nigeria. Go and check interest rates. Even the best bank in Ghana, Gezim, Ghana Isim Bank, is giving interest rate in the teens. Is that what you say? So I say that the Bank of Ghana, look, lender of last resort.
Yeah.
Nobody says don't lend to government. But you ask yourself the simple question, could I have done things differently? I say they could have done things differently. And at a point in time, they could have forced government to actually say, you know what, we are supposed to cut down on the spending.
But here is, for me, and that, you've talked about the technicalities, but also the political interference in the central bank's activities and workings is, for me, the biggest challenge.
Exactly.
We know in law, right, or in theory, well, in fact, in law, that BOG has autonomy.
Yeah.
Except that it doesn't work like that in practice. So what we've seen is the government that is in trouble knocking on the door of the central bank to finance its operations, which is what you've been talking about.
Yeah.
But we also know that the properly functioning central bank would have at one point said, we cannot continue what we're doing. Have you read their statement they issued?
Which
I thought was a bigger indictment.
Yeah.
That they said, they acknowledged, they knew the problem was there.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that the gap that has been left and the government was asking them to try and bridge was not feasible. In fact, if they do it, it will lead them down a path where this economy will crash. But at the point it says, they informed the finance minister, right, about the challenges.
Yeah.
But they also said they were used to bridge that particular gap. Now, and the questions have been asked, when all this was happening, when the central bank knew what was down the line, why didn't the central bank tell the government that we can no longer continue financing?
I'll tell you one thing. This is where the beginning of the problem starts from. So I'm looking at the Bank of Ghana Act 612. I look at as amended also. So 6 says, in the event, let me read section 30, subsection 1 says, the bank may make advances and loans to government on overdraft or in any other form that the board may determine, make direct purchase from the government of treasury bills or securities, representing obligations of the government. And we talk about subsection 2, the total of loans, advances, whatever, shall not exceed 10% of the total revenue of the fiscal year in which the advances were made. Now, this is in 25%.
Mm-hmm.
But let me get to 6. It says, in the event of any emergency, the governor, the minister, and the controller and accountant general shall meet to decide the limit of borrowing that should be made by government, and the minister shall submit a report on the issue to parliament within 7 days. This is what the governor is referring to. But let me just make reference to another aspect. So this is section 30, as amended. Okay, let me get to section 30, as amended. Okay, so it adds a 7, Act 918. It says, where the total loans, advances, purchases of treasury bills, and securities made under subsection 1 is 5% of the previous fiscal year total revenue, the governor shall notify the minister and parliament of the attainment of the limit under subsection 2.
So they met the first requirement.
Yes.
By telling the minister.
Yes.
But they didn't meet the second requirement by telling parliament.
No, they did not. So this is the new. So this is the latest law. Okay, so this one says, don't just end there. don't just end there. Okay? Because look, if the amendment, what I have for the amendment 2 says, the total loans, advances, purchases, and treasury bills and securities made under subsection 1 shall not at any time exceed 5%. Shall not exceed 5%. Then in subsection 7, which is a new, which is an addition. Mind you, in Act 612, it ends at 6. Mm-hmm. Subsection, section 30 ends at subsection 6. But it introduces 7, which says, where the total of loans and advances, purchases of treasury, bills, and securities made under subsection 1 is 5% of the previous fiscal year's total revenue, the governor shall notify the minister and parliament of the attainment of the limit under subsection 2, and the minister, upon notification, shall report to parliament on the remedial measures to be taken. So your duty is to notify parliament, then the minister's duty is to indicate the remedial measures to be taken.
Mm.
That's my understanding of the law. Mm-hmm. I've spoken to the lawyers. Mm-hmm. This is what they say is the understanding too. Some of them I've spoken to. So this is the beginning of the problem. So at what point did the governor tell parliament that this is what
On the face of it, that didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
Right? But the reason why this was put in the law is simple. When you go to parliament and tell them, then the people's representative will know what was happening.
Exactly.
But here also, assuming that because of what we know, the politicization of institutions and the Bank of Ghana maybe being politicized, and the central bank governor is unable to tell the finance minister, we can't continue this. When you go to parliament under this law and you disclose it, you'll actually get parliamentary support if indeed you are unable to continue doing this. Imagine he had done this before parliament. What do you think would have happened for the minority side?
No, but you see, what would have happened is very simple.
Minority, obviously,
would have taken government or would go to town. But you see, this is the problem. This is the advantage of that. All of us knew that by end of 2021, we're in deep troubles.
Yeah.
We all knew. So, you see, part of our problem today is the pretense that we pretended we were all right until we had to go to IMF in an ambulance. If we had not pretended we were all right, nobody would have undergone the kind of things that we had to undergo. We wouldn't have gone through the debt exchange that got all of us worried in this country. But at that point in time, instead of the Bank of Ghana funding government, they should have told government, we've done enough.
Mm.
It's about time to seek support.
Yeah.
It's about time we look
for support. Maybe they did.
Well, if they did, then they should have gone to parliament.
Exactly. But that's my point. That is where they shot themselves in the foot. This law is actually there to protect the central bank governor.
Yes.
Because we know politicians can be overbearing sometimes.
Yes.
To make it impossible for you to actually do your job and do it professionally. So when you go to parliament and report, it's not your fault. They say, but the law you passed said I should go to parliament and report. And I'm going to parliament. Then parliament fights your battle for you.
Exactly.
But he chose not to do that. So let's ask the question that we are asking. Who should go? Is it Ken? Is it NS? Is it both? Because the minority have come to the conclusion that NS must go. So they are going to occupy the premises of the central bank in 21 days. And it's counting. I see that they are putting out flyers every day to say counting, the countdown is on, etc. But who really must go?
As for Ken, we've said Ken must go already.
Yeah, but that didn't happen, right? I mean,
as for Ken, it's obvious it won't happen.
He's a dead goat.
It's obvious it's not going to happen. I mean,
They've gone through the process.
It didn't happen. So, as for Ken, let's leave the Ken
bit.
Let's leave the Ken bit.
So you're saying, if Ken is past the stage of going because he survived it,
refused to go. And the president is supporting him.
But he survived it.
He did. He survived the vote of the essential vote.
Yeah, exactly. He leaves Ernest.
I feel for Ernest. I feel for him.
Why?
And I'll tell you why. I feel for him because at the point, yes, the central bank had to step in. But I think they overstepped in, if I could put it that way.
Mm.
I am not against the central bank stepping in. But at the point, they stepped in too much. But I have a challenge when Ernest and co. did not realize that they had to inform parliament. And if Ernest is, if you look at their conditions of service, in order to get them out of office, you'd have to go through the same process that Justice of the Superior Court go through.
That's why the conversation is around resign.
Resign. Now, if the Lord asked you to inform parliament, and you did not inform Parliament.
Isn't that grounds?
That's enough grounds. Martin Kwebu has indicated he's going to petition for removal of Ernest Addison. I don't think he wants to go through that.
As in, you don't think that Ernest will want to put himself through
that?
Think
it's necessary.
To go before and justify.
I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's necessary. Look, if you ask me, I don't think it's necessary. You have played a role. I think that, yes, he's a very fine economist, very much appreciated in our part of the world. He's worked with international agencies. I think at this point in time, Ernest should say, if you think that my decision to help the country at the most critical moment was a bad thing, I'm gone.
Well, he'll possibly think if he did that, then that will be confirmation that he did something wrong. Okay. Is it whose interest will that serve? It will definitely serve his interest,
yes,
to some extent.
Yes.
But here is a conspiracy theory there, and I believe it's part of the reason why he won't go. How will that make government look? Politically, that would mean the government will be left holding a can, right? And it will be a confirmation that we told you that this whole mess is exclusive doing and creation of the government. And look, even the Bank of Ghana governor has resigned and left them in the lurch, okay? So I am anticipating that even if that man wants to go, Ernest, there will be political pressure for him to stay. But your argument is, this is a decision that he must make. It's about himself
about
now.
About himself now.
Right. It's about himself. I mean, the process is being triggered, say, by a petition, etc. Of course, Ken Ofori-Atta survived one. Maybe they will tell him, look, you will survive this too.
Maybe he doesn't survive it. But this is the other point. Look, all of us here, we work and, I mean, you and I, we have consulted whenever we've had issues with certain points. We've consulted company lawyers sometimes and said,
yeah,
where do we go from here?
Yeah.
Maybe Ernest consulted his lawyers. Let's assume. I mean, at this point in time, we are all, you know, beginning to find out what could have happened. Mm-hmm. Maybe his lawyers told him, oh, just inform the minister and that's the end of it. Mm. So he informs the minister. So maybe he didn't know. He may not have come across this, which I expect him to know anyway.
I'll tell you what I think most probably happened. Yeah, you go on.
But if all of that happened, you could still say, it has just come to my knowledge that this is the point. That would mean you were ignorant all this while, but at least on a principle, based on principle, because it has now come to my knowledge and I have now come to the realization that I should have done something right yesterday, which I did not do, I say, I am going.
You see, beyond, just a bit of thing, I believe, even if Ernest and the legal team at BOG had advised him go to Parliament, and he had informed the finance minister, just put yourself in the shoes of a politician, inform the finance minister, I have to go to Parliament because the law says so. What do you think the reaction of the finance minister will be?
Don't go.
Exactly. I believe that most probably was what happened. I believe at some point that conversation, look, this law you talked about, the revision, the amendment, there's no way the crafting of the amendment would have happened without the Bank of Ghana's own knowledge and active participation in it. There's no way. And such a substantive amendment, Ernest Addison himself, didn't it happen under his tenure?
No, it happened under the NDC.
But because of who he is, the bank, and remember that this is a bank that has continuity in terms of...
Hold on, let me check. I don't know. I think it happened under him.
Yeah, let's verify that.
It happened under him.
But I'm saying, even if it happened, which year is this?
2016.
So under the previous
Mahama.
My point, even if it happened under the previous administration or before he stepped in, they have continuity of offices within the BOG, right?
Mm-hmm.
The legal department would have been involved. There's no way you come. Look, when you take up any state institution, the first thing you want to be familiar with are the regulations that govern your sector.
Sure.
Right? And this was so glaring in there. You see, the reason why I'm saying it is so impossible that he missed it, right, is that they cleared the first barrier, which is inform the finance minister.
That's if he did.
Right? Well, he said he did.
Yeah, but that's if he did.
No, but in the statement, he said he did.
Yeah, but that's if he did.
Okay, well, I'm taking his word for it. Once he cleared the first barrier, you cannot say DC that. I think you mean barrier. You clear the first legal requirement. It's hard for me to believe that you didn't go to the natural next step, which is also there in that same law, right? So my presumption, and I think it's a very, very highly probable presumption that that's what happened, is that they got to a point where they must have told the finance minister and the government. And remember, the deputy finance minister is a member of the BOG board, right? Those decisions will be taken at that level. The government would have known. Should we go or not? I'm pretty sure, knowing what politicians do, they would have told them not to go. And that was the time when, that's the time that he possibly should have said, listen, first of all, we are overexposed to you in terms of all the financing we've done. Secondly, I have to comply with the law. He said no. That was when he should have actually stepped aside.
Exactly.
Right? So he missed that opportunity at the time. Now he's been boxed into a corner. If the minority's threat is carried out in 21 days, and it's now we are far less than 21 days, puts him under pressure. He doesn't want that. That's one. You talk about the possibility of Martin Kpebu also filing a petition. So from where he sits, and I'm coming to my conclusion on whether he should go on. I mean, from where he sits, there's a storm coming. For the storm has been brewing for a while, right? But there's a storm coming. There's a political storm coming. There is a legal storm coming. And there's a storm that may actually lead to his possible removal, right? And you know when that happens? Because it's 50-50, you don't know what's going to happen there. You can go to, you know, on the face of it, we all see the violation. It leaves your reputation significantly tarnished. Coming into this, he had impeccable reputation. Crisis gets all of us sometimes to make mistakes. So that a lot of people will forgive him if he steps aside and say, look, we're in a crisis, we made a mistake, you know, and he steps aside. But if he waits for the minority to begin occupying and there's this political pressure and the case is filed, as in the petition is filed, and that hearing also begins, I mean, immeasurably, your problems have become just unbearable.
Yeah.
So my position is, it's still not too late to go. But the real question we need to ask is, will the politicians allow that to happen?
You see, this is the point. And I agree with you. I mean, you've made a very important point. But sometimes, it's got to be about you. Look, at this point, you've been boxed into that corner. You're asking yourself, what do I do? But I say, this is when you have to look to yourself, like we say. Ask yourself that simple question. How long can I continue? And this is the other point that is coming. We say the central bank is the lender of last resort.
Mm-hmm.
The central bank is not insolvent. But you see, the moment, watch this, Christopher.
It's not insolvent.
It's not insolvent.
They have a negative.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't make it insolvent. They can.
No, but I know what it, but technically they are. I mean, they are broke.
No, I mean, for a commercial bank, yes, they are broke. But a central bank, no.
No, I know what you mean.
Yes.
I mean, that's why they've made the point.
Yeah.
That as far as the monetary policy supervision and everything is concerned, they make
sense. Today, if banks need money, they can give them. They don't have a problem. But this is the beginning of the problem. I mean, the negative equity is all because of the stated capital and all of that. Let's leave that on the other side. But let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when the minority begins to occupy a Bank of Ghana,
yeah.
And they begin to raise these issues, and politics takes center stage.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to begin. They're going to start making lots of arguments. They're going to be running on the banks, okay?
Yeah.
Because people now look, because of what we experienced in 2017, 2018, when people hear banks, a lot of people don't even know what the Bank of Ghana does.
Mm. They just hear bank.
Yeah, bank. It's a Bank of Ghana. People would begin to withdraw a lot of their monies from the banks. Banks cannot survive even 40 to 50% withdrawals of deposits. Mm. If people begin to have a running on the banks, it's going to create a problem. And that's why I'm saying that, look, I was having this conversation with some banking consultants, and their fear was that, and for them, even in fact, their joy at the time was that, because a lot of people don't understand these issues, it's good sometimes. Because you see, when you have a lot of appreciation on some of these issues, it helps. But also, sometimes, you begin to ask a few questions. What's happening here? What's happening here? What's happening here? What's happening here? If people get misled, they start thinking that that's the end of banking in Ghana.
Mm.
It affects our commercial banks. That's something the bank of the governor wouldn't want.
So that is the law of unintended consequences,
yes.
Right? And that can be very devastating.
Exactly.
Also because we all know that this, that the financial sector hasn't recovered fully, one, from the banking sector cleanup
mm-hmm.
that happened in the 2007, 2008, thereabout, and then the DTEP has yeah. left a lot of them exposed. Trust in the banking system, right, is at an all-time low.
Yeah.
The reason people are keeping money is at home,
yeah.
as you've seen. So, and then you add a situation where the Bank of Ghana itself is besieged, is embattled. You're right. That then adds this further fuel to this fire of an unstable financial sector that actually requires a long period of stability. Sika mpedede.
That's true. And so, look,
Sika mpedede.
Let's save ourselves. Let's save our country.
And the ultimate bank where we keep money for our commercial banks, and then day two for us, it starts at the top of the central bank.
Look,
at
every point, I mean, one of the things we say, the politician says that at every point, somebody must be sacrificed. Georgianda says, if in a room, at every point, somebody is being used. If you look around and you don't see the person who is being used, then you are the one.
Possible.
So somebody must take the bullet at this point in time. Somebody must sacrifice something. Somebody must sacrifice. And that's why, I mean, we would have expected Kenneth to have sacrificed long ago.
But he wouldn't, because he wouldn't.
He's become yeah. a politician. You're a technocrat.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in time, you sacrifice and go.
Mm.
Save the country. Don't wait.
Well, save yourself.
And save the country. Don't wait. You see, for me, I know people will come and say, oh, I disagree with you. But if I were in there, oh, I would have been gone. Because I'll return maybe my salary. So that's even, you go into your family.
And then wait for the possibility of being removed.
Removed and all of these, controversies.
You retire on your salary.
I mean,
and I can imagine the Bank of Ghana, central bank governor's salary.
Oh, he's on a fast salary.
Will be Sikadosopo.
Oh, he's on a fast salary. So, that aside, he should just, he's past 60 anyway. You just move. You retire. Okay, retire. And then you go. No problem. You go and play golf every, day. You chit-chat with your friends. Drink some wine or some beer or maybe some cognac if you want to. That's the end of it.
Mm.
Okay. Or you could go take another international appointment. He's worked outside this country before. He could go back. Okay, that's him. He has expertise.
Mm.
Except that today, what has happened, today his head is on the chopping board and we say, save yourself, save us all.
Well,
let it go.
Abba says, both Ken and the BOG governor should go. Gershon says they should stay. So, of course, people have different views on this matter. But at the end of the day, the countdown is on to that, that 21 days expiring.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll see what Martin Pibu also does. And the point is that don't wait till that time. As for Ken, he survived it. And
you may not survive it.
Yeah, he may not because you're not a politician. Enjoy the rest of your day.